Bibles, turn to the Gospel of John, the fourth chapter. That is page 864 in your pew Bible. John chapter 4. We're going to begin reading with verse 1 and read through verse 10. And the good news is, next Sunday we're not reading out of John chapter 4. But the bad news is the next week we're starting right back again. John chapter 4, page 864 in your pew Bible. Beginning in verse 1, let's read together today. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee, but he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Thanks so much. You can be seated. In 1969, the Rolling Stones released a song written by Mick Jagger and Keith Richards. In 2004, it was listed as the 100th greatest song of all time by Rolling Stone magazine. The title of the song is mentioned three times in the chorus. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometime, you just might find you get what you need. Next Sunday, the choir is singing that song. Now, hopefully, you won't spend the rest of the morning humming that tune or attempting to remember the verses or trying to figure out who was Bill in the drugstore. But I use that chorus because it aptly describes where we are today in our passage of Scripture. You know, I remember as a boy, just before Christmas, the Sears Roebuck Christmas catalog would arrive in the mail. And I can remember sitting there with it with a pencil or a pen, and I would be looking through all the toys and all the action figures and all the games and circling all the things that I wanted. Not the things I needed, but the things that I wanted. You know, as I think about this woman and this conversation that Jesus is having with her, you know, I think that woman probably had in her life many of the same wants that you and I have today. She wanted stability, security, love, a home, friends, and a home with a caring husband and a family. She pictured a baby on her lap, quality time walking hand in hand with her husband through the fields and the orchards nearby, and growing old after a long and satisfying life. Instead, nothing she wanted came to pass. She's had five husbands, none of them who brought her stability, security, or love. She has no friends, so she comes to the well at the hottest time of the day to draw water, so that no other women of the village will be there. There was no baby on her lap. There was no grandchild to spoil. The man she is living with now refuses to marry her, and he views her as if she were damaged and used goods. She faces an uncertain future, a lonely evening of life, and an unmarked grave with no mourners. And now, another man tells her that he wants something from her. She doesn't know his name. She questions why a Jewish man is in the middle, right near a Samaritan village, and is talking to a Samaritan woman and is asking her for a drink of water. She doesn't realize it, but this man is drawing her into a dance of intimacy, of confession, of repentance, of leaving the old life and finding new life, of finally finding that even though she did not get all she wanted, she can certainly receive what she needs. Listen again to Jesus' words to this woman. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. That verse of Scripture, verse 10, lays the groundwork for this entire story that we are immersed in. If you knew, you remember the Sunday we talked about knowing Jesus. If you knew, and many people know about Jesus, and many people claim to know Jesus. They know him through religion. They know him through confirmation. They know him through something that was done at the altar when they were a baby. So they know Jesus. And they will show up Easter and Christmas because they know Jesus. But then he went a little bit further. He said, if you knew who it is. In other words, if you really knew who I am, if you were intimately acquainted with me, if you had gone beyond just knowing about me and moved into knowing who I am. This is not mere knowledge of Jesus. It's not mere familiarity with Jesus. This is not Jesus as an acquaintance that you visit every now and then. This is knowing him. This is intimacy with him. This is familiarity with him. This is knowing his heart and knowing his ways and knowing his will. This is that warming of the heart that John Wesley spoke about that he experienced when he moved from knowing him to really knowing who he is. This is going from walking down the hall in high school and somebody saying, hey, do you know that girl? And you say, know her. I'm going to marry her one day. Then Jesus said, if you knew who I was, you would have asked. And last week we saw how the depth of our relationship with him impacts and influences what we ask for. When you really know him, it now allows you to filter out all the little stuff out there, and your prayers now become more of friend talking to friend, not subject talking to master, not someone who really doesn't know you and is a little afraid of you and is not familiar with you, but I'm going to ask you something anyway. But when you know him, it affects what you ask of him. So we ask boldly, and we ask without trepidation or fear or anxiety, because we say, well, I know who he is. And we talked about how there's certain things you would ask of somebody that you really know that you would never ask somebody who's just an acquaintance of you. So today we look at the next step in this dance of intimacy that Jesus is drawing this woman into. He said, if you knew who I was, you would have asked, and I would have given you. We see this in prayer and in life, is that we may not always get what we want, but we will certainly get what we need. In every situation, God knows exactly what we need. Jesus spoke of God's ability to meet our needs. He said this in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his glory was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And now listen to this next part. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but in those 9 verses of Scripture, Jesus uses the word worry 4 times. You see, when we don't know him, we worry because there are things we want. And Jesus didn't say, your Father knows what you want. He said, your Father knows what you need, so don't worry. It is wanting things that creates worry. I want my children. I want this. I want this new thing. And I want that. And I'm worried. Wanting creates worry. But Jesus said, your Father knows what you need. Don't be anxious. The Greek word for worry is to be anxious about, to have a distracting care. Jesus said, don't get distracted by your wants and the worry that they create. Don't get distracted by those things, because your Father knows what you need. God knows what you need. God knows when you need it. And God knows how to get it to you. God knows our needs. The children of Israel leave Egypt. They have no food. They have no water. They are going to go. They don't realize it yet, but they are going to wander over 40 years in the wilderness. And I love what Deuteronomy 29 verses 5 and 6 says. This is the Lord speaking. And he said, for 40 years, I, the Lord, led you through the desert, but your clothes and your sandals did not wear out. And I gave you special food. And now listen to this next part. I did these things so you would realize I am your God. They left without food, without water, without a changing of clothes. And God said, I know what you needed. And I took care of everything you needed for 40 years because I wanted you to know I am God. The truth is, most of us get what we want. We can obtain it on our own. If I want something, I pretty much know that I can get it. I may have to tell Sherry about it, but we can get it. But then when you run into those things that are needs, they're higher than your wants. Needs are those things that you say, I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't know how this is going to happen in my life. I don't know if this void in my life is ever going to be filled. I don't know if this thing is ever going to be taken care of. And those are those areas that God moves into and says, I can take care of your needs. It's an interesting story found in the Bible in 2 Kings. The king of Israel, the king of Judah, come together and they are going to attack the nation of Moab because Moab has been a thorn in their side for years and years and years.
And so these two armies join together, and in order to get to Moab, these two armies have to go through the desert, and it takes them 7 days for these two massive armies to get through the desert. They run out of water. They have no water to drink. They're in the middle of the desert. And so they go and they call for a prophet, and Elisha comes to them. And Elisha says, this is what God says to you. Dig ditches in the desert, and God will give you water. Seems like a weird way, doesn't it? I could have almost said it if he had said dig a well. He said dig ditches in the desert, and God will give you water. So they dig the ditches. And when they arise the next morning, the valley is filled with water. Just what they, what's the word? Wanted. Just what they wanted. They wanted water. Just what they wanted. But God had more in line than just giving them what they wanted. He was going to give them what they needed. Listen to the end of the story, beginning in verse 21 of 2 Kings chapter 3. Now all the Moabites had heard that the kings had come to fight against them, so every man, young and old, who could bear arms was called up and stationed on the border. When they got up early in the morning, the sun was shining on the water. To the Moabites, the water looked like blood. That's blood, they said. Those kings must have fought and slaughtered each other. Now to the plunder, Moab. But when the Moabites came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and fought them until they fled, and the Israelites invaded the land and slaughtered the Moabites. What did the king of Judah and the king of Israel need? They needed to defeat the Moabites. They get in the middle of the desert and they have no water and they want water. And God says to them, dig ditches and the ditches will be filled with water. Just what you want. But on the other side of the encampment, the Moabites are looking at the water. The sun is shining on it. They think it's blood. They think these two armies have now turned on each other. And in giving them what the Israelites thought they wanted, God was not giving them the water because they wanted it. He was giving them the water because they needed it to win the battle. God knows just what you need, and He knows when you need it, and He knows how to get you what you need. But we get caught up in what we want, and distracted by what we want, and in getting distracted by what we want, we forget that God is seeking the higher. God is seeking the glory. God is seeking the honor. Oh, you can say, well, you know, I bought that brand new car, and I was able to finance it because God blessed me with a job so I could get what I want. But God is not just interested in your wants. God's interested in your needs. John chapter 6. Jesus has just finished a sermon and there's a huge crowd gathered there. And He says to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? And John said that Jesus only asked that of Philip because He wanted to test the faith of Philip. And Philip answered Him, it would take more than a half year's wages to buy enough bread for each one of them to have a bite. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said, here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? We need to give the people what they want. They want food. And here we got a little boy, and he's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but that's not enough to give them what they want. But Jesus knew it was enough to give them what they needed. Because what they needed was not the fish and loaves. What they needed was to see this miracle that Jesus was going to do before them. And so what did Jesus say when Andrew said to him, I've got a little boy here. I took his lunch from him because I'm bigger than he is. He had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But that's not enough to give them what they want. But Jesus said, but it's enough to give them what they need. And I love what Jesus said. He said, go tell the people, sit down. Ooh, supper's coming. Don't you love it when you get there and everybody's standing around talking and somebody says, okay, everybody, y'all go sit down now. Supper's ready. And Jesus was saying, Andrew, you're focused on what they want. I'm focused on what they need. And the need, the way I'm going to supply their need, will take care of their want. But I'm going to take care of their want by meeting their need, so they'll give me the glory and the honor and the praise. And so I want to say it to you again. God knows what you need. He knows when you need it. And He knows how to get it to you. So this woman comes to the well because she wanted water. She was thirsty. And Jesus moves beyond her want and goes right to her need. He said this when he talked about her need. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. She wanted water. Jesus knew her need was not water. That was her want. Jesus knew her need was life. She needed living water. When my boys were small, we'd go out to eat lunch. There were certain places I tried to avoid. I always liked buffets because my sons could eat like adults, but I could get them in on the kids' price. And I'm sorry, Lord, I would do that. But the place I tried to avoid was places that had games, because invariably they'd want money to play one of the games. And one of the worst games, anybody remember the claw machine? Where you'd put that 50 cent in there or a dollar or whatever, and you could control that claw and it would go down and you'd try to grab something that you'd put in 50 cent to get it and it was worth a nickel. And 9 times out of 10, it wouldn't work. So by the time you finally got the thing that was worth a nickel, you'd already spent $5 to get it. But the joy was not in getting the money. The joy was in finally making it the journey back to where you wanted it to go. And oftentimes, I think we see prayer and we see life just like that. It's about what I want. It's about what do I need to do to get what I want. What do I need to buy? What do I need to trade in? What do I need to get rid of? What do I need to take up? What do I need to spend? What do I need to do to get what I want? Not recognizing that God knows your wants, but God knows something higher. He knows your need. And God is much more interested in meeting your needs than He is in meeting your wants. Because you know what we find? We get what we want, and after a while, we want more. Because you never can find satisfaction in wants. You only find satisfaction when your need is met. And we try to meet the need by getting what we want, and we're never satisfied. Mary and Martha's brother is dying. John chapter 11. They send word to Jesus. They know what they want. They want Jesus to come and heal their brother. And that's apparent from the way they worded the request. They sent word to Jesus. Jesus, the one whom you love, is sick. They thought that would get them what they wanted. They wanted Jesus to come and heal Lazarus. They tried everything they knew. They tried every potion. They had brought in everybody who said, oh, you know, I had that one time and I did this. I remember one time, first church I pastored, I got some kind of terrible stomach virus. And it lasted about 4 days. And I mean, I couldn't keep anything down. And a lady from the church came over. She heard that I was sick. She came over to the house and she brought a can of blackberries. And she said, drink the juice and it'll stop this. And I drank the juice. She was wrong. She was wrong. But I'm telling you what, when you are throwing up blackberry juice, that will scare you. We know what we want. Jesus, we want you to come and heal the one you love. And so we're trying to twist your arm a little bit. We want to manipulate you just a little bit. We want to coerce you a little bit more to give us what we want. So the one whom you love is sick. Not Lazarus, the one whom you love is sick. We know he'll come for that. He'll give us what we want. And Jesus waited. And he waited. And he waited. And he waited until he knew Lazarus was dead. He finally tells his disciples, we're going to the home of Mary and Martha. Lazarus is asleep. I'm going to wake him up. He'd been dead 4 days now. And of course, we know the disciples said, Lord, if he's sleeping, that's good for him. And Jesus said to him, and what he said to them was so point blank. John 11:14, Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And now Jesus distinguishes between wants and needs. He says, I'm glad I wasn't there. Why? Because if I had been there, I would have given Mary and Martha what they wanted. I would have healed him. You following me? I would have given them what they wanted. But now notice what he says now. But now he moves out of what they want to what they need. He says, because now you will have a chance to put your faith in me. They wanted to see Lazarus healed. But I let Lazarus die because I recognize that what they want is really not what they want. There's a bigger need than the want to heal Lazarus. And the need is for you and for them to place faith in me. This was the last miracle Jesus would do before he died. His interest in his disciples and his interest in Mary and Martha was not based upon Lazarus. It was based upon what was getting ready to happen to Jesus. He wanted them to have faith that they could say, you know what? He stood at the tomb of Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus was resurrected. Maybe Jesus is telling the truth when he says, on the third day, I'll rise again. Oh, I could have healed him, Jesus is saying. If I'd been there, I would have healed him. But that wouldn't have given you what you need. That would have given them what they want. But what you need and what they need is not Lazarus to be healed. They need to have faith in me. Mary and Martha wanted a healing. But Jesus knew the need was greater than a healing. The need was to have faith that if Jesus could raise Lazarus from the dead, Jesus himself could be raised from the dead. You know, sometimes we get in situations where we say, this is not what I wanted. This isn't what I wanted. My life is not, what's going on in my life right now is not what I want. And please hear my heart. I am not saying that bad things come from God. They don't. Jesus made that clear in John 10:10. He said, it's the thief that steals, kills, and destroys. I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So this is not casting guilt on God. But there are sometimes you and I go through things that we don't want. And yet, even in the midst of them, God is trying to give us what we need. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. He said, "Father, if there's another way, show me. If there's another way for this to be done without me dying, I don't want to die." But he understood that the cross was not about what Jesus wanted. The cross was about what we needed. And there are times that we go through stuff that we just say, "And I tell you what, if I were writing the story of my life, it wouldn't include this chapter right here because this is not what I want." But the good news of the gospel is this, that in the midst of us going through what we don't want, it offers God an opportunity to give us what we really need. Give us what we really need. You know what next Sunday is about? Easter Sunday? It's about Jesus giving us what we need. The psalmist said this, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Next Sunday is Jesus saying, "I'm what you need." Even in the midst of want that you don't want, I'm what you need. I think every one of us here, and I'm closing, but every one of us here could aptly say, I have gone through situations in my life, times in my life that I said, "Dear God, this is not what I want. Help me, get me out of this." And yet when we get through it and get on the other side and look back, we say, "You know what I learned through what I went through? I learned the faithfulness of God." Sherry and I, a few years ago, went out west. And we're going back out west again, and I mean further west than Pensacola. We went to Zion National Park. We were in Zion National Park. We spent the night right outside the park, and we checked in late that night. We woke up the next morning. I didn't realize, but our hotel room had big windows right across the front, and we were laying in bed, and you could look out, and you could see the tops of the mountains. We got out. We ate breakfast. We got in the car. We started driving through. Any of you ever been to Zion National Park? Okay, four of you. Tell you what, maybe we'll take a bus when Sherry and I go and you can go with us. Because you've got to see this. You come into Zion National Park and you start in this big tunnel. And it's over a mile long. And they finally put windows there. And one of the reasons they put windows in the tunnel, and I was reading this, there was a geological reason and there was also an aesthetic reason. But one of the reasons they put the windows there is because people didn't want to go through the tunnel because it was so dark. But you go through that tunnel a mile and a quarter, and when you come out of that tunnel, and the last part of the tunnel, if I remember this correctly, doesn't have windows. You come out of that tunnel, and I don't know how to describe this, but you come driving out, and the first thing you see when you look up are the beautiful mountains that are there. It's breathtaking. You just want to stop your car and just sit there. And we did that. And then finally the ranger said, "Sir, if you don't move, we're going to throw you out." Every time I think of this thing about your wants and your needs, I'm reminded of that tunnel. You go through things you don't want. And it's dark. And it's foreboding. And all you do is you just say, "I just want out. That's what I want. I want out." But then, by the grace of God, when you come out of that season in your life, and you look, And you say, oh, I see part of what that was about. That was about showing me that He is all I need. Jesus says to this woman, I know what you want. You want water. But I really know what you need. And what you need is the love of God, because that's what you've been looking for all this time in 6 different men that you thought wanted you and you thought they would give you what you want. You found out they couldn't because they didn't have it. But lady, let me tell you something. I got what you need. I've got life and love and forgiveness and acceptance. I've got what you need. Gracious Father, we are so guilty at times of getting caught up in what we want. And we spend effort and worry and we fret over, am I going to get what I want when I want it? And then we realize that when we get it, it really doesn't bring satisfaction. It brings momentary joy and momentary elation. But then, Lord, we realize it's really not what I wanted. Because we're trying to satisfy wants, and you're wanting to satisfy needs. Lord, how we see this in this story. What this woman wanted, and all she went through trying to get what she wanted, when all the time you were what she needed. You were who she needed. Lord, help us. Forgive us for the money we've thrown away on things we wanted and didn't bring us satisfaction, for the choices we've made thinking that this will give me what I want. He'll give me what I want. She'll give me what I want. They'll give me what I want. And we found out, God, that all it did was just create more want. Forgive us, Lord. I pray, Father, that we would be people who would say, Lord, you are who I need. Like this woman would find out when she realized that even though she wanted water, what she really needed was water that would give you life. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. Amen. Let's stand together. Ken's